Yo, what's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm Combo Breaker 99, and I'm back with round 37 with y'all. All right, y'all, back with another episode. It's another fight night, too, you know, so I'm kind of pumped up, man. Saturday night, got another UFC card, and got this Tyson Jones fight coming up tonight. I know it's not like a big major fight, but, you know, it's something. It's something, and, you know, it's two legends that I've been wanting to see in the ring, but that's one of the topics today. You know, I'm going to fill y'all in on what I'm going to talk about the Tyson Jones fight. But I didn't really do anything much this holiday. You know, I just took it off. Basically, you know, I just kind of took a chill. You know, I'm not really a big celebration person, but that's the reason why I didn't drop an episode Thursday or Friday. You know, I just wanted to chill out, you know, take advantage of the time off. That was it, you know, but I did do some other videos that I haven't put out yet. And, you know, I did have some topics. Like I said, I was coming up for this show. And these two topics that I have in particular really came from after seeing the UFC 255 card, you know, seeing those three flyweight fights. And then after that, doing the little live stream I did a few days ago talking about the flyweight tournament. And, you know, I just want to talk about two fighters in particular. First up, I want to talk about Caitlin Chookagian. And I know this is a topic a lot of people, they're probably disagree with me on this, but right now I feel like Caitlin Chookagian is not going anywhere. And that's the first topic. Caitlin Chookagian is not going anywhere. And I'm going to give you all my reasons on why, you know, after pulling off that, I won't say fully upset, but, you know, pulling off that win over Cynthia Calvillo, there's something I see in her that just tells me she's not going anywhere for the moment. And next topic is about the flyweight champion, Valentina Shevchenko. You know, I just want to give you my reasons on why I feel like she's untouchable right now. You know, that's the question for y'all. Is Valentina untouchable? Is she safely ahead of the rest of the flyweight division? You know, I have my reasons on why I feel like she is like a safe point in her career. But, you know, I want to also know from y'all if y'all leave any comments in the comment section. And it's fight night. Like I said, we got Mike Tyson, Roy Jones, their exhibition match. Give you my final thoughts on that fight. And, of course, you know, give you all some clarification on the rules and what I really think is going to happen in this exhibition match. And, of course, my highlight finish of the episode. I actually have two this time. You know, there's two impressive knockouts, one in women's MMA and, of course, one in the UFC with men's fights, which was on Friday and Saturday. So, yeah. Two highlight finishes for y'all. So, yeah, man, going back up here, like I said, my first topic, after seeing Caitlin Chookagian pull off this win against Cynthia Calvillo, you know, once again, she gets a win over a top flyweight. She came in with a point to prove, ready to utilize her tools again. Just wanted to go back and say, yeah, really, man, after seeing that fight, I can honestly say that Caitlin Chookagian is not going anywhere anytime soon. You know, I can say that honestly. I know there's a lot of people that feels like, she's shown everything that she's, you know, she could. She's won some, lost some. You know, she's already got the title shot. But honestly, man, look, Caitlin, as long as she continues to hang on to the focus that she has and she continues to stay ready and, you know, continues to stay in fight shape, and these other fighters that don't show up physically and mentally, she's going to continue to hold the spot down. I mean, on this side of Jessica Andrade and Valentina, everybody else in the flyweight division seems to kind of be putting that question mark over their head, you know? So I think Caitlin's the one that kind of stands out above the rest of them. You know, even though she wins or loses some, you know, she's always coming back, you know? And I know I wanted to see Calvillo succeed in this fight. You know, the game plan to beat Chookagian was there, but she didn't execute. So I can't get mad at Caitlin. You know, Caitlin thrives again. And I think that as long as she gets these opportunities and they keep coming and she stays in fight shape, you know, she's not going anywhere, you know, title shot or not, she's not going anywhere. And until she's ready to retire and focus on family, I think that's the only thing that's going to push her out of the top 10. Because I honestly can say there really isn't any other flyweight that's going to knock her out of the top 10 or any other flyweights that are going to put her on a losing streak. You know, there's no flyweights, I think, that are going to put her on a losing streak to cause her to get cut. You know, any of those things, you know, she still has the tools to hold it down the way she does. And, you know, I just consider her one of those fighters that, you know, can rise to the occasion. And I just see her continuing to fight on and stay in the top 10. And with that being said, I know there's a lot of people that are going to say, oh, she's in the top 10. Well, does that mean we got to see her in another title shot? Does she deserve another title shot? Will she get another title shot? Well, to answer that question, I don't think so necessarily, you know, unless she does something really groundbreaking, you know, like after this Calvillo fight and beats, you know, she goes off and beats Lauren Murphy again, or beats Andrade in like spectacular fashion in a rematch, and then maybe beats the Roxanne Vivian winner, then I think that'd be the only way to get her in there with the title shot again. You know, she'd have to do something impressive like that, like a 2 or 3 fight winning streak and just straight up blow out opponents. Like after this Calvillo fight, she'd have to take on somebody else and just like blow them completely out of the water, like in the title eliminator fight. You know, I know she said if she beats Calvillo, she would probably take on another fight before considering a title fight. And since then, after she beat Calvillo, you know, she didn't really call out anyone specifically, you know, so maybe she knows that a title fight might not be in the cards for her. And, you know, she might say, oh, that's not best for me right now. So unless she was to blow somebody out, she would probably get one last hurrah against Valentina, which she would rightfully earn. And that would guarantee another bag before she retired, you know. So I think she would want to kind of cap it off with some top fight like that, you know. But honestly, like really style wise, I don't think she really brings anything new to the table to upset Valentina at this point, you know. And I don't think she will, you know. I think she'll just continue to hold down her spot. But like I said, I think as long as the other ladies don't show interest in a title shot, then she could possibly squeeze herself back in there. You know, if she catches these other girls on their off days where they're not mentally there, she's gonna capitalize and possibly squeeze in there. But honestly, man, you gotta give Caitlin credit. You know, you gotta give her credit because she stays fight ready, which leads to another point on why she's not leaving. You know, Caitlin Chikagian is reliable. Every time they need a flyweight to fight, Caitlin is there. You know, she's the one there to answer that call. She's dependable. Between last November and this November, Caitlin's fought 5 times, 4 times in 2020 against top level opponents. And some of these fights are quick turnarounds, as you can see, they're quick turnarounds. You know, she not only is taking the call, she's coming in fight ready to prove that she's ready to pull off the upset. You know, she's not going in there taking a beating. She's not a body to make anybody else look good. You know, she's not food. She's ready to challenge. And I mean, Valentina, of course, that was on another level. But at the time, you know, she had went on a good win streak and had some impressive wins to get her that title shot, you know. But she definitely showed shades of beating Andrade until that power caught up to her in the first round, you know. So she was in there ready to fight. You know, she was going to put up a good fight. And she also beat Calvillo and Antonina this year. So those are top caliber fighters that she beat, you know. She took the Calvillo fight 1 month after the Andrade loss. So she stays fight ready. She stays injury free. And again, you know, out of 4 fights, out of 5 fights between last November and this November, that's impressive to me. You know, so many other fighters have had injuries. And with her, you know, from last November to this November, 5 fights against top 15 opponents, that's impressive to me, you know. So that's another reason why she's not going anywhere. You know, she's a dependable fighter that Dana and the matchmakers can call, you know, dependable, highly skilled, top ranked, and she's always healthy. You know, she's a top ranked level fighter and she's always healthy. And that's what people want to see. You know, that's what the fans want to see. I mean, whether they find her style crowd pleasing or not, you know, she is that level of fighter that can, you know, that Dana can call and always put in there and put on a challenge or pull off an upset. And which leads to another reason on why she's not leaving. She's dependable. But of course, come on, you know, we all know why Caitlin is doing this too. You know, it's the reason why we all do it. It's work. She's doing it for the money. You know, Caitlin's dependable to secure these paydays. You know, she's probably one of the smartest fighters in the flyweight division this side of Valentina, because she knows, hey, I got to answer these calls. I got to get these fights, you know, until I'm ready to hang it up, because, you know, I want to start this family. I want to do that. I want to make sure I'm secure after a fight. So I got to continue to stay healthy. Let me make sure I'm fight shape, injury free, secure these paydays so I can hang it up. You know, if you know, retirement for her is probably around the corner, you know, because she's already kind of talked about that. So it's only right that she stays ready, continues to take on these top 10 fights, you know, not just like non-ranked fighters, you know, because she'll earn less money, but she stays just enough. She stays just enough in shape to take on top 10 fighters to secure these bags, because the more she wins, the more money she's going to get. You know, I mean, all these other fighters are hanging back. Like I said, it all kind of goes back to that, too. So the more and more she answers these calls and gets on these big cards, you know, on these main cards and not the prelims, she's just going to keep on seasoning. You know, she's just going to keep on seasoning it. Same with the Calvillo fight. She was quick to answer it. You know, she said, yo, I may have suffered this first round loss against one of the powerhouses in Jessica Andrade, but yo, I'm coming back. Because why? Need that money. You know, so I'm not just here to show up. I'm here to win because I want that money. Because again, you know, think about it. If she beats these other top 10 fighters and then possibly gets another rematch, possibly gets another fight, a rematch with Valentina, that's a big payday for her. And it'll be well played. You know, so in all honesty, man, like I said, I feel like Caitlin Chikagian, you know, may not have that crowd pleasing style, but I feel like she does have a skill set that a lot of fighters, they just can't handle. And it's been proven time and time again. Like, it's not about the power with her. It's more so just about frustration, you know, frustration and points. And she's going to continue to do that and stay in the game as long as she's reliable and has money on her mind. You know, so Caitlin's not going anywhere, man. But let me know what y'all think. So moving on, next topic. As we know, on the main I still call it the main event. I was about to say, see the main event, but it was the co-main event this past Saturday. Valentina Shevchenko, she defeated Jennifer Maia. And even though Jennifer Maia went the distance, you know, and had her moments, I think it's still safe to say for me that Valentina definitely stands levels above the top 10. And after seeing that fight, too, you know, I know a lot of people felt like some people felt like Jennifer Maia exposed weakness in Valentina. Some people felt like Valentina was off that day. And they felt like, oh, that wasn't really Valentina. But like I said, I feel like that was Valentina Shevchenko 100%. She was just in there with a fighter that wanted it, but didn't have all the tools to get it. You know, so there was going to be shades of competition. There was going to be shades of struggle in the fight. But once the champion overcomes those struggles, the road will be a lot smoother towards the end. You know, the road is definitely going to be a lot smoother once that champion smooths out those wrinkles and they can see the big picture. You know, once that other fighter doesn't have the proper tools to continue to make it this big competition or this back and forth action fight, then it's over. And you know, Jennifer Maia, I think after the second round, you know, she definitely was in the fight. She was in the fight, but Valentina owned the fight. You know, Valentina was there to own the fight. She wasn't there just to be in the fight. She was there to own the fight. And that's what she did. She owned Jennifer Maia towards rounds 3, 4, and 5 and just took it on home. And you know what I mean? Not every fighter is going to get stopped. You know, just because every fighter goes it's not just because you're not able to knock every fighter out doesn't necessarily mean a fighter's off. You know, some fighters have better chins than the others. Some fighters have solid defense. So you just have to kind of chip away and get it the way you know how. And, you know, Valentina, there was many ways to get it. So this was just another style that we never seen from Valentina. You know, this was another approach she had to take to win that we're not used to seeing. And so it was a solid win for me, and I felt like that was Valentina 100%, because we got to remember, no fighter goes into the octagon or the ring 100% anyways. You know, we're not going to use injuries as an excuse. You know, no warrior wants to use that as an excuse. I mean, we take away from fighters when they say, oh, well, I could have done better, but it was my shoulder. I could have done better, but I was sick. You know, we always take away when fighters give excuses. So why are we going to make an excuse for why a fighter didn't look good now? You know? But yeah, with that aside, like I said, Valentina once again did it in a solid unanimous decision. And after seeing this fight, you know, I'm actually, you know, like I said, I can be a harsh critic sometimes, but after seeing this fight, I can definitely say that, you know, Valentina Shevchenko just stands so many levels above these other fighters that I think right now I don't really see anybody giving her any type of real threat. You know, I think Jennifer Maia was that one fighter that could do it. You know, I think there might be a fighter here and there that could give her a code, you know, maybe for a few minutes of a round, maybe like in the first few seconds of the round, whenever they want to go in there and just go balls out and try to capitalize. But I think maybe after like that first few seconds, then she's going to crack the code. That's it. You know, but to say somebody's going to like completely find a way to dismantle and beat her or dominate her, or even like get two or three rounds in a row on her, I don't see that right now. You know, that's not something I see. Is it impossible? No, of course not. But from what I see from these other top 10 contenders, nobody really possesses the same mentality as her. You know, notice I say mentality because the mental comes first in combat sports. You know, the mental is what really helps you develop your skill set and help you evolve. It helps you know what you need to put in your body to help it keep going. You know, how many reps of certain workouts you need to do, and what workouts do you need to have that fast twitch or have that burst in the fifth round? You know, you got to have that mentality for that. Like, notice I didn't say, oh, you got to have that perfect jab to beat or that perfect chin or, you know, that perfect defense. No, it's not about those one thing, those single things. You know, these other fighters in the division, they have to have that same mentality, and nobody possesses that same mentality as Valentina right now. You know, and that's no knock to the other fighters. I'm not saying that they don't have the focus at all. It's just that Valentina has had over two decades of experience in many disciplines. And to have that under your belt, that lets you know that this individual has been on a lifelong mission to be the best. You know, some of these other flyweights, they may have transitioned from maybe Muay Thai or, you know, jiu-jitsu, but was it for the same reasons? Like, were they on that same mission? Was it just for money? Because maybe I transitioned here because the money wasn't that good in Muay Thai, or maybe the money wasn't that good in boxing, so I'm going to the UFC instead. You know, I'm going to mixed martial arts, I'm going to Bellator because the money's better. You know, if you go in there with that mindset, then you're already lost against Valentina, honestly. You know, of course, Valentina's doing it for money now, but she put in a lot of work before she started making big money. You know, she put in a lot of work, you know, and that takes some real dedication, man. And you know, that's why I say that Valentina Shevchenko right now, the way she's able to handle herself in these fights against the top 10 in the flyweight division, and the way she continues to make these moves as far as just growing as a fighter skill wise, I can honestly say that she is at a safe point in the division. And when I say safe point, don't confuse that with invincible. You know, I'm not saying she's perfect. I'm saying she's just better than all the other flyweights. And she definitely is pound for pound one of the best fighters in women's MMA today. You know, I've said that in past videos, that don't confuse greatness with being perfect or greatness with invincible. Because if Valentina was perfect, then she'd be undefeated, right? But she's a fighter with greatness on her mind. And that's going to keep her steps and miles above the rest. And it's going to keep her prepared, you know. So as long as she has greatness on her mind, that's what's going to keep her where she is right now and growing. It's going to keep her growing. It's going to keep her pushing, you know, because greatness, I think when you do call a person perfect or invincible, it kind of takes away from the greatness. You know what I mean? Because to be great, you have to go through trials and tribulations. You have to go through down times. You have to go through blood, sweat and tears to get there. You know, look at Muhammad Ali. You know, Muhammad Ali, perfect example. You know, he's lost a few fights in his career. You know, after going to prison, he had lost his legs with that during that prison sentence. And he came back a different fighter, but he just had to evolve and find another way to win and get that greatness the way that he wanted to, you know, to get that goal the way that he wanted to. So it doesn't necessarily mean when you say that a person is great that they're perfect or they're invincible. No, they had to go on a hard road to get that. And like I said, with Valentina, she's going on a hard road to get that. And she's putting herself at a safe point right now. And right now she's untouchable compared to all the other fighters. You know, this is kind of crazy, but let me put it this way. Like, I'm a zombie movie fan. I'm a fan of zombie movies, and I'm a fan of, just like studying the characters in these movies on people in like apocalyptic situations, So think of the flyweight division as like, what, let's say 10 different survivors, 10 different groups of survivors. On one side, you got these certain survivors who built up these little barricades, these little shoddy barricades. They put a few boards on the door. They throw up some cheap barbed wire, and they fix up their little hideouts, for a day or two. These little tiny things, they just grab a few things, and then they just say, okay, this will hold. And sometimes they hold. Sometimes you see in these movies, they got a little barricade. It's lasting for a few days, but eventually somebody else comes along. Maybe some other, robbers or somebody, that wants what they have, or, more zombies come and they tear their barricade down. That's what it's like with these other fighters in the flyweight division. They do enough to win one day, but the preparation for the long run is not there sometimes. They're not prepared for the next style and the next style. So it's always up and down with them. They'll have to keep going from place to place. So like just like in these zombie movies, you see some people who they put up their barricade, right? Then after that, it's enough to hold off one or two zombies, but then a whole horde comes along and takes them out. Or like I said, another group of people come along and take what they have because they didn't prepare for the long run. So it's always going to be back and forth. So when they get torn down that one time, they go off to the next, put up another barricade. They still don't learn their lesson, gets torn down to finally they just get eaten. But Valentina, she's that survivor. She's that survivor who's been through the rough times and she's learned her lesson each time. Valentina is that survivor that builds the wall, puts up the barricade, the steel bars. She's that person that has the right weapons after facing failure. She's built up an arsenal. She studied what the zombies can break through and what they can't penetrate. So her hideout is set up. She has a hideout that's going to keep her safe for years. Now, notice I said safe, but not comfortable. Safe and comfortable are two different things. So don't confuse those. Valentina's safe for now. But until somebody comes along with like a tank or like another huge horde of zombies comes along, then, she's just going to keep on preparing, make sure she's ready for whatever's to come. She's going to stay one step ahead of the game and stay prepared for that. She's always thinking of the worst. But at the moment, her hideout is safe. Nobody stands a chance of breaking that wall, hence the safe point. Now, I know that might seem a little too deep or like crazy, but think about it. That's exactly what it is. Valentina is a person that thinks it's self-preservation. She's thinking of herself. She's thinking of her goals of what she wants. And it's just like I said, look, out of all these survivors, these 10, this back and forth action going on this side. Valentina's on this side with her fortress, preparing, waiting for that, waiting for that big blow up. But she's good. And when somebody comes along, tries to knock her wall down, she knocks them back. Why? Because she's prepared. All these other fighters out here, they're prepared for one day, but they're not prepared for the next harsh element that's coming their way, So that's why Valentina is at this safe point right now. Now, like I said, somebody one day may come along with that rocket launcher or two or that army to tear her fortress down, but she'll be prepared by then because she stays one step ahead of the game. Or one day, like I said, somebody might come around and wipe it all out. But I don't see that right now because nobody has that mentality. Nobody's got that mentality that she has right now. Again, remember, that's her safe point, not her comfortable point. So right now, she's good where she's at, and she'll continue to fend off attacks and defend her position. Now, I hope that made sense for y'all. All right. So, yeah, man, tonight is fight night. Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones is going down tonight. And I think there's a lot of casual fans that are more hyped about this fight than me. I think there's a lot of people that are hyped about this fight. They've been going on and asking me what I think about it. But ever since I heard there's going to be like some, crazy rules for this one, I didn't really have a hype. I didn't really have hype behind it anymore. Now, back in September when it was going down and like I thought the unthinkable could happen. I was like, yo, I'm ready to see this. Let's go ahead and get it on. I think a lot of people are ready, but I think that since they pushed it 2 months out for more so like financial reasons, money reasons, it's kind of built up a bigger hype amongst casual fans, which is what they wanted. But along the way, more rules and more money's been put into this, which doesn't necessarily mean the best for the fans. You know, more rules and more money doesn't necessarily mean more enjoyment, you know. So real quick, man, just going back and look at this fight, Roy Jones and Mike Tyson, this is going to be an exhibition match. So just for y'all casual fans, just so y'all know, exhibition is going to be a little bit more stricter than an actual fight. You know, it's going to have a few more rules than regular boxing. So don't go in here thinking this is going to be an all out brawl out type fight. Maybe it would have been that back in September. That's what I was thinking, but maybe that's why the commission wanted to attack now and make sure they put some rules here. But some of these rules, man, I was like, wow, this might actually take away from the fight though, man. Like some of them are kind of just out off the wall, man. But real quick, just to let y'all know too that the casual fans are really checking this out, man, because it says here that Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, they broke the record for pre-sale pay-per-views. You know, so I let you know that people really want to see these two in the ring, you know. But real quick, just wanted to read the rules to y'all. So first up, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones exhibition match. The rules consist of this. Maybe there's some other rules too. Let me know if y'all know any more. But first of all, this fight is going to consist of eight 2-minute rounds. There will be no headgear as of right now, because that seemed to be one of the rules that keeps changing. So no headgear, 12-ounce gloves, no knockouts allowed. All right, so casual fans, you know, go ahead and prepare for that disappointment. No knockouts allowed. A cut ends the fight. Wow, a cut ends the fight. And the fight is VADA testing. You know, VADA testing is for this fight. And no judges. Get this one. No judges. So we know right there, no winner is going to be declared. No judges. They're going to have guest celebrities, like guest commentators, and I think they're like slash judges as well. Like UFC middleweight champion Israel Adesanya is supposed to be a commentator, and Snoop Dogg is supposed to be a commentator. So yeah, man, like anything you thought about this fight being like a straight up fight boxing match or straight up war is kind of out the door, man. This is just going to be kind of like a celebrity thing. You know, and I think that's the kind of money they wanted to put into it, because that's what Mike Tyson is now. Mike Tyson, not really a boxer anymore. You know, he's still kind of living off that essence. But, you know, even now, you know, he's more of a businessman now. He's a podcaster, but he's not that Mike from before. You know, so these type of moves are going to be made to help him secure money and help Roy secure money as well. But like I said, really going into this exhibition match, I was already thinking this is just going to be like an exhibition to earn money for charities. And again, maybe reintroduce Mike to this new young era, you know, after seeing him in so many clips on YouTube. They get to actually experience Mike in some form of pay-per-view fashion like we used to. You know, we used to see pay-per-views of Mike, go to fight parties with Mike, and, you know, he put on a show, a quick show. Like you go off and get a beer, come back, the fight's done, you know. So it's one of those things. But along with Roy Jones too, you know, Roy Jones, he was a guy, you know, used to watch, get pay-per-views, and I still definitely watch all his highlights on YouTube. One of definitely like my number one or number two fighters of all time growing up. So it's good to get to see these two legends in the ring together in some form, and let the old era know. Let the new era know what we used to kind of experience in some way. Like I said, of course, it's not the 2003 or 2004 match that I wanted between these two. But, you know, fans get to see them together, and even a lot of casual fans, they get to relive some of the past in some way. You know, like I said, I had some older casual fans come up to me and ask me, you know, they came up to me, asked me like about this fight. I can't really tell them anything, like, because it's like, don't expect. All I can tell them is don't expect the 80s Mike or 90s Roy to be in there Saturday night. Okay. And that's all I can tell them. Don't expect that. Don't expect to be this big fight. That's why I just read the rules to y'all. Look, there's no KOs and no judges. A cut ends the fight. It may be no headgear, but look, it's not going to be the fight that you think it is. I just wish that it could have been a little bit more competition to it, you know, have some type of competitive level to it. I mean, you know, honestly, from what we're seeing here, yo, I've already seen sparring sessions with more heat than this, you know, and you can actually see a winner in some sparring matches in some way. But with this exhibition, I think it's just being set up to, like I said, be a moneymaker, and it's not really being set up to have a winner. So it's just kind of like a little exhibition thing to see two fighters come out, maybe throw a few hands here and there, but not go crazy. You know, I don't know if Mike is one to still not follow rules anymore, but we'll see. So if anything really, you know, comes of this fight, at least we can say that watching these two train behind the scenes, it was fun to see. It was fun to watch. It was inspirational. It's definitely made a lot of elder people get up and start being a little bit more active. You know, it's definitely made me say, yo, I can't let these 50-year-olds outdo me. You know what I mean? Like seeing these two work out for this fight, you know, since back in the summer, you know, like seeing them prepare, it was just like, wow, man, they're really getting up and getting it. You know, so if anything, at least the fight brought that to us. You know, at least they brought us that element of boxing, which I like to see the behind the scenes. So yeah, man, like I'm not expecting a lot. I'm not giving y'all a prediction. I'm not giving y'all a winner for this fight because there is no winner. There's no judges, but I just wanted to clarify that for y'all. And yeah, just check it out just to see your favorite fighter in the ring, you know, throw a few hands with like celebrities around, but it's not going to be anything big. Yeah, man, that's pretty much all I had, man. So let's go, man. Fight highlight of the episode is actually going to be shared today. First up, man, Invicta FC 43, fight highlight of the episode goes to Stephanie Geltmacher versus Caitlin Sammons. I did a post-fight reaction to this fight. If y'all don't know Stephanie Geltmacher, she scored a spectacular first-round knockout over Caitlin Sammons last Friday. Man, she just went in there, overpowered Caitlin Sammons, you know, used the pressure. Good clinch pressure on the defense, you know, really working her. I thought the fight might have ended in like some ground and pound the way she was able to handle Caitlin Sammons. But Caitlin Sammons was able to create that distance again. I think it was after the referee broke them up. And Caitlin Sammons, like I said, doesn't really have the hands to get the respect of Stephanie Geltmacher. So Stephanie Geltmacher, using that in and out pressure, was just kind of being unpredictable, stepping in and out. You know, she's the shorter fighter, the shorter reach, but she utilized her pressure well. You know, she knew how to go in and out and make Caitlin Sammons guess. So while Caitlin Sammons was thinking, she shoots a jab to the chest, comes over the top from down bottom with overhand right, cracks Caitlin Sammons on the chin, drops her. She's out. She about to land a few more shots, but the referee stops it because after that overhand right landed, she was out. She landed on her backside and she was almost out cold, but yeah, she was done. So yeah, that was like one of the biggest highlight fights of the past week to me. You know, that was the first time for Stephanie Geltmacher. You know, she says she's never knocked anybody out like that before and she hasn't. And that just really showcased the little powerhouse that she is. So yeah, shout out to Stephanie Geltmacher, a first round knockout. Definitely check it out. Like I said, that's on the Invicta FC 43 co-main event. Really solid card too. Overall, it was just a solid card. And last Saturday, UFC 255, Joaquin Buckley scored his second round stoppage win over Jordan Wright. Another knockout I did a post-fight reaction to. Another solid one for Joaquin Buckley. Shout out to Joaquin Buckley. Like I said, he's coming back off for a highlight finish back in October. Comes back into the octagon against Jordan Wright. Big, strong opponent, you know, very tall, long, was getting in some good shots early on, but Joaquin Buckley stayed dedicated to the pressure. He stayed putting that pressure on Jordan Wright, landing some good body shots, ending the first round with a good, solid left hand and dropped Jordan Wright, but the bell saved Jordan Wright. So what is Joaquin Buckley doing that second round? Go straight after him, give him any time to recover, goes in for the kill, lands a pair of solid left hands, finishes Jordan Wright off with the right uppercut and drops him. Referee steps in. It's over. So another solid win for Joaquin Buckley. So, yeah, those are my highlight finishes for this episode. Stephanie Geltmacher's first round knockout over Caitlin Sammons and Joaquin Buckley's second round knockout over Jordan Wright on the UFC 255 card last Saturday. So definitely check that one out. You know, the highlights probably on YouTube. So definitely check that fight out. But yeah, shout out to Stephanie Geltmacher and Joaquin Buckley. Continue to be them powerhouses and put on exciting fights. But yeah, man, that's all I got on this episode. Like I said, let me know in the comment section when I put this on YouTube. Let me know what y'all think about Caitlin Chikagan as well. Like, is she going to continue to hold down her spot? Or do you think that somebody's going to knock her out of the top 10 and she'll get cut? Like I said, she's not going anywhere, in my opinion. You know, final thoughts on that. She's not going anywhere. And Valentina, final thoughts on her. Valentina Shevchenko is the best women's MMA, second best women's MMA fighter under Amanda Nunes. And as long as she stays in this flyweight division, I feel like she's at a safe point against all the other flyweights. Nobody's touching her. And again, Tyson Jones tonight, no prediction. No prediction. It's an exhibition. With all these rules set, you know, don't expect a knockout or a winner, man. So yeah, I'm going to check that out tonight as well. And yeah, make sure y'all follow me here on my Instagram. I post that here at ComboBreaker99 and at All Boxing Everything. That's my boxing Instagram. And also subscribe to my YouTube channel. You know, it's been growing thanks to the new subscribers. You know, I'll be doing more podcasts and live streams here and, you know, more film study and breakdown videos and interviews and all of that, man. So, yeah, still growing, but keep checking me out. CB99talks.com is coming soon. That's where I'm going to post all the podcast episodes. And it's going to start, you know, being on iTunes and Spotify and all that, man. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that. Post all that here. But, yeah, man, Combo Breaker 99. Make sure y'all subscribe. I'm out. Peace.